Isaiah, a series of poems and narrative attributed to an ancient prophet, is among the most important Hebrew texts for early Christianity. Our reading today continues to look to the promised return of God's people to Judah from the Babylonian captivity in the 6th century BCE. In it, we hear a common theme of the Hebrew scriptures, that God is married to God's people, and even to the land, a sign of God's perpetual commitment and care. This imagery would be echoed centuries later by early Christian writers' language about the marriage of Christ to the church. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Let us say together Psalm 36. Found in your bulletin. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strong mountain, your justice like the great deep. You save both man and beast, O Lord. How priceless is your love, O God. Your people take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart.
Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians is among the longest of his letters. The community he addressed in Corinth struggled to remain faithful to the gospel in the world that often contradicted the ways of Christ they had been taught. This stress led the community to multiple disagreements, dissension, and bitter strife, all of which Paul sought to address with practical advice, pastoral correction, and theological discourse. One cause of the conflict was that the Corinthians had established among themselves a hierarchy of spiritual gifts. In today's reading, Paul reminds them that all spiritual gifts are to be regarded with equal respect out of reverence for Christ, and especially for the well-being of the community knit together in one spirit. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one of the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciple had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He then said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servant who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
It is a great privilege for a clergyman, a minister, a priest, to preach the gospel, the good news. And it is a great honor to do so. And therefore, when we think of good news, we also think of bad news. Because why would you preach the good news if it wasn't something bad that you had to try to overcome? So there is always the bad news somewhere. And the wonderful passage from Isaiah the prophet, the first reading, speaks of the return of the exiles from Babylon. And it's very glowingly and very uplifting. It's beautiful. And yet they were returning to complete devastation. The Babylonians had not only devastated the place, they razed the They raised the temple, brought back probably 1,000 or a couple of thousand, you might say hostages, but they were really servants and slaves to work in Babylon. So this was a terrible situation. And yet, Isaiah, looking ahead, is telling them that they will have a beautiful relationship with the Lord, and that the Lord will bless them, will enable them to carry on, and they will have this intimate relationship with him. And so, this weekend is very symbolic because in very many ways, it is exemplary of what we are experiencing here in our time. Like I think many of you, I was born during the Second World War. And I can honestly say, reflecting back on my life, that you would think that after a war like the Second World War, that people would have had enough of warfare, fighting each other, conflict, and so on. And yet, immediately, if not sooner, after the war, we began the Cold War and the nuclear arms race. So we went from a very bad situation to probably a worse one, at least potential. And I can't remember a time when things were really great. Certainly the post-war economy was really good, and people had a chance to earn and to move ahead in life, and that was great. But it was always this looming thing behind them, that who knows, maybe the world will have a nuclear conflict and everybody will be gone anyway. So we've always had these things, and nations have always been in some kind of conflict. We as a nation have always been in some kind of conflict. And so how do we deal with this? In fact, let me just quote one line. It's from the beginning of a speech given by William Faulkner, the American novelist, when he won the Nobel Prize in 1950. And I have to say that I resonate with his opening words. He says, "Our tragedy today is a universal anxiety so long sustained that we can no longer even bear it." And I think he was speaking directly to everyone, the world, and the plight of humanity. Where are we going? And so I'll also add, by the way, I'm not here to depress you because I have a nice message afterwards, but it's important to really take to heart and vocalize what many of us have felt over the years, especially now. Now, this is from a very famous novel, mid-20th century, Alan Paton's Cry the Beloved Country, about the apartheid in South Africa. Very touching book. He says, I think I better put my glasses on. "Who indeed knows the secret of our earthly pilgrimage? Who indeed knows why there can be comfort in a world of desolation? Now God be thanked that there is a beloved one who can lift up the heart in suffering. Wise men write many books, often in words too hard to understand. But this, the purpose of our lives, the end of all our struggles, is beyond all human wisdom. Cry the beloved country." And I think that says it all. That the mystery of life is beyond all human wisdom. Because when you live through and witness year after year after year things that never get straightened out, you wonder, is it possible? What are we doing? What are we not doing? What are we missing? Why can't we accomplish this? And so I'm going to finish this part with the beginning, the opening words of a Charles Dickens' book. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. A tale of two cities. Well, it's our tale. It's our experience of life. We're up, we're down, we're up and down. There's always something lurking behind us. And to live with this anxiety is unbearable. Now, when I mention Isaiah, you see, these prophets, they were spokesmen for God, are trying to have the faithful look a little bit deeper in life. Because humanity generally looks on the surface. I mean, that's always been the case. Our perceptions are very shallow, clearly. And I don't have to demonstrate that. And so the life of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus, the good news of Jesus is that we have to look deeper. We have to go deeper. We have to understand that we are more than just the physical bodies we live in, more than just the history that we observe, the things we do and that we see happening around the world, that we have within us the capability of transcending. In fact, there's a line in John the Evangelist that Jesus has overcome the world. You see, and that's, we must overcome the world ourselves individually. And we do that when we nurture the spiritual life. When we realize that within us, and by the way, these things are like, they're always there, but we don't see them. It's like something standing in plain sight, but you can't see it. Happens all the time to us. Hidden in plain sight. We do have a spark of the divine flame within us. It's not obviously. But it's there, nonetheless. And it is the presence of the divine, and it is something that we can rest in. And that's how the early Christians and others, and even those who were returning from Babylon in the Old Testament, they had to realize this, and they came to realize it. They were able to get through it. And so this weekend, as I started off, has many symbolic things going. You didn't notice. Everything seems to have converged in one weekend. We have the inauguration of our new president, a populist election. On the other hand, we're celebrating the anniversary of Martin Luther King. And flags are flying at half mast because of the passing of Jimmy Carter. And the people in Los Angeles are beginning to move away from the desolation and the long journey toward rebuilding their lives. My daughter lives in Los Angeles, and she had to flee the Eaton fire. She was away for a few days. Thank God the evacuation was canceled for her, and she could go home. And apparently, her home was not intact. But of course, you have all the steps there. So many things are happening on this weekend, not the least of which is a tentative peace in the Middle East and the beginning of the return of hostages. So, I mean, you really couldn't jam more into a weekend than you have this weekend. But the symbols are all there, and you have the good and the bad and so forth and so on, and there is always hope. But my message to you is, while I know it's easy to say, you have to realize that you have what you need to live your life, even under the most dire of circumstances, and the most dire of circumstances throughout the world. For example, we're not the only nation that has a problem with divisions and with the conflicts between people. Every industrialized nation has just recently gone through and is actually going through right now, and you can name all of them. I mean, there's a long list. Same situation, same election, same disgruntled people, unhappy, miserable, problems that never seem to get solved. And for example, in England, you have the Brexit, which really turned out to be a disaster. You have France, you have Italy, you have Holland, now you have Germany on the way. You have South Korea, you have Japan. I mean, you can go on and on. Oh, and you have Israel and Palestine. So this is the way of the world, and this is the way of human wisdom. And so we look beyond, we look higher. And the way of the world is in space and time, so everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then it starts all over again. But the interior life, the spiritual life, is anchored in eternity. It is the eternal. The divine is eternal. And we're a part of it. We're sparks of the divine flame. And so we have to start looking at our life this way, that we carry within us this great treasure. But we have to recognize it, and we have to nurture it, and we have to keep it going. Because this will have no end. And it starts now. That peace and that tranquility and that confidence and courage is there. You have to bring it out. And it will come out. And that is the good news. That is the good news. And we should enjoy the good news. We should accept it. We should try to drum it into our thick skulls rather than live in misery and anxiety and fear. So God bless you. Be well. Enjoy life.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.